For the Lamb has conquered.
Yo!
Yo, what is up, everybody?
Come on, this is the Nameless Disciples. This is Tyler.
Trinity.
Anna.
And Marley.
Come on, we got four on here today. We're so excited. We're living in awesome times. We want to come to you guys today and just share about what it looks like to be surrendered. Kind of like a little bit of our testimony, encouragement, some scripture verses. Man, it's surrender is so huge. It's the beginning of a life with a life with Him and a walking with Him. And it starts with surrender.
Yeah, seriously. Like that is the start to all. That's kind of like the base. We were kind of talking on how to start this and how to go about this. And I was like, you know what? Like, that's the start. That's the start to your walk with God is surrender.
Come on.
So that's kind of where we're going to go. And I mean, each of us can kind of talk about where, how that looked for each of us on our own walks. But does anybody want to start with theirs first?
Well, so I grew up in a very like non-church background. And I got baptized when I was 17. And for me, the start of surrender was basically, I had to be like completely done with my life, completely like not wanting anything of it anymore, and just fully wanting to give it all to Him and not want anything to do with it, not want to touch any of it. And, I mean, that's really where it started for me. Like, I feel like if I wasn't brought to that point, then my walk wouldn't have been real and it wouldn't like have been a fully lasting thing, like how I know it's going to be now.
That's really what it was for me. That's so good. Literally, when I was praying for this, I was like, Father, what does it mean to fully surrender? Because I feel like this word can be really thrown around, especially in church or just Christianity in itself. But it's like, it's to give Him everything. And a verse that came to me was Matthew 26:39. It says, and going a little further, He fell on His face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. So it's kind of coming to that place of, okay, I can't do this anymore. Like, here's my hand. My hands are thrown up, like my white flag, you know, the towel's thrown in. Like, it's time to give You everything. And that's kind of the place that I had to come to, because personally, in my testimony, I came to this point of, like, not wanting to live anymore. I had a lot of suicidal thoughts, and I was like, you know what? It's going to be better if I just ended it all right here. But I then looked to God, and I was like, okay, if You're real, I need to know that. So here, my hands are being thrown up, and I just need You to show me who You are. Show me who You truly are. And when I came to that place of desperation, that's what it takes. It takes desperation. Surrender takes desperation. So when I came to that place of desperation, that's when I was able to say, okay, I'm giving You everything, because you need to realize that you cannot do this on your own. Mm-hmm. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. We can't do this stuff by ourselves. So surrender is an action. When I looked it up, it's not just a noun or it's not just a word, but surrender is an action. It is a verb. It's a thing that we do. And we'd start with surrender, but it doesn't mean we stop there. Yeah. We have to continue to do it daily. Yeah, it's literally a daily thing.
Well, yeah, that's good. Come on. I know that was for me too. Like, I guess like a little bit of my testimony, like I grew up in a Christian home all my life, and I didn't experience the world at all. And so I had incredible family and parents and just very sheltered. But I like growing up, I would read literally, like they always say, you read the red letters in the Bible. I would read all about what Jesus and Yeshua, like what he did and what He talked about. And I was like, man, where is this at? Like, I don't see this in the church. I don't see this anywhere. And even for myself, I feel like I was living for myself, even though I'd raise my hand, like, yeah, I'm a believer. Like, yeah, I know Him. But yet I didn't really know Him at all. And so I came to a point literally a few years ago. And I think it was just a journey for my own life, basically to a point. And it reminds me of Matthew 6:33. And one of the verses is like, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And then I also think of like Luke 9:23. He says, then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. It's like, it's a daily taking up your cross. Yeah. daily doing it. It's not a one-time thing. It's not come to the front of the church and be like, you know what? I surrender today. I'm all in. You know, that's great. It's a great start. But it's got to be going daily, taking up your cross and following him. And so a few years ago, my wife and I went to a revival and just really experienced like living the life. And so ever since then, it's just been an increase of dying more. And the crazy part is now like get to see the things that he was, you know, that was in the red letters, literally in the Bible, like seeing the miracles, seeing deliverance, seeing baptisms. I mean, it was crazy. Like, yeah, like I said, I grew up in a Christian home all my life. And yet, I mean, I still had my own struggles, obviously, you know, fear of man and different things that I wrestled with. But a lot of it was I was living for myself. I was like, you know what? I'm here to gain for myself and build my own self, my own kingdom on this. And when it really struck me a few years ago, it was just like, man, if I'm not living for him all the way, then I'm living for myself. And then I'm lukewarm. And obviously the scripture says he's going to spit you out.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I can't do this anymore. I got to give up everything and I got to run after him. And I just got to, you know, and so that's what I did. And it's changed my whole life. And I feel like my mind's getting constantly renewed with his word as I grow closer to him and encounter him. And it's powerful. I'm telling you, younger generation, anyone out there actually, but really young people, like this is so real. Yeah. Like you can lay down your life. And you know, it doesn't mean you got to like quit your job or quit your school or any of that kind of stuff, but it's laying down the part of like, it's about me. It's not about you, you know, to die is to gain. Mm-hmm. And so like you want to just completely live a surrendered life, whatever he wants you to do. And it's so powerful. Like it's so powerful.
Yeah, totally. I mean, literally for me, when I came to that place, like he changed me so much. That's like my only response. I'm like, here's everything. You changed me so much. This is my response. This is how I'm going to respond to you because you've done such a massive work in me. So if I didn't answer the call, if I didn't surrender everything, then I would be just doing a disservice to myself even.
Yeah.
Not only a disservice to God, but a disservice to myself because he did so much for me. He changed me so much. So you know what? Here's everything. Here's my whole entire life. Here's my hands. Here's my feet. Here's my body. Here's my heart. Here's my mind. Here's everything because you are worth it. Because he just did so much. And I'm just like, thank you. Thank you. Like, thank you is not enough. So here's my life.
Yeah.
You know, I think of a quote of Leonard Ravenhill. And that's really, because I grew up, you know, in a Christian home. I like read my Bible all the time. I was in the word. I mean, constant. My dad gave me a good example. I'd always see him every morning before I'd go to work or go to work with him even. He'd be up early reading. And so I really took that and disciplined myself of spending 20 minutes to half an hour in the word. But honestly, it was so dry to be for real. And because I think this quote of Leonard Ravenhill, it says, there is a world of a difference between knowing the word of God and knowing the God of the word.
Woo!
And I was like, that's when it changed my life. When I went from not just knowing the word of God, but now knowing the God of the word and have a relationship with him and walking in him. And then his word began to come alive to me. And then it was like, it was life changing from then. I was like, that quote really like struck with me. I read that a couple days ago and I was like, wow, that like speaks to my testimony growing up. I mean, I memorized scripture growing up and all these different things. Like I was around just a lot of, you know, which is great. Like knowing the word is incredible. But if you don't know the God of the word, doesn't know, it doesn't matter how much of the word you know.
Yeah.
And so you have to have that relationship with him and you got to come to a place of surrender.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's like a point of humility too, is being able to realize like like just looking from like a outward perspective, I guess, like on your life and being like, man, like, I am completely just like self-centered, like living for myself, doing whatever I want to do. And how does that make him feel? You know, like, so I feel like it's not only surrender, but just like
it's humility, it's then surrender.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. And being able to see it, having those eyes to see it.
Yes. And for me, like I grew up, Anna here. I grew up in a Christian home. I mean, yeah, just like always just surrounded 5 days a week. We were at the church doing something around, you know, just the Bible or whatever. But for me, like it just wasn't real to me. I was like, yeah, you know, it kind of works for them or whatever. But it's not really like my thing. But for me, like, you know, looking back, I can see I had a hard heart. And for something that requires surrender, you cannot have a hard heart. Mm-hmm. And so to surrender, you have to have that soft heart, that heart of flesh that the word talks about. You have to have that heart of flesh to really like analyze your life and just really look and be really honest and just see like what areas of my life am I like hoarding, you know, like to hoard something and to not want to let it go. Like what areas have I not surrendered in my life? What areas is my heart hard? Like really just be honest and like seek him, like seek and you will find, like really seek, earnestly seek and just be desperate to just move forward in your walk with him and to surrender those things. But yeah, a scripture that really popped up for me here would be in Romans 6. And if anybody hasn't like read it recently, like you should totally read it. Like the whole chapter. It's just so good. Yeah, so here's verse 4 through 8 here. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Mm-hmm. For if we have been united together with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall walk in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has freed us from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Mm. So just that death, like, and for me, like, I got saved, quote unquote, when I was 13, but really like laid everything down on the table and gave it to him a lot later than that, because I realized like, wow, I have not died to myself. I am so self-centered, so self, just everything evolved around myself. Mm-hmm. And so realizing that and just laying it all down before him, and just even just like the picture, like in scripture, of the altar and the sacrifice, like it is a sacrifice to surrender. If it's not a sacrifice for you to surrender, like, are you really surrendering? Ooh, you know, like it is a sacrifice, and it is a true thing to do. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I had to
that's
say.
Good.
So good. Yeah.
And what a joy it is to be able to do that. Yes. Like to be able to just lay it all down and be like, I don't have to worry about this anymore. Exactly. Like he has it all handled.
Exactly.
And it's like you don't have to carry, like for me, I needed to surrender my sin and surrender the guilt and the shame that I was like carrying and so much more. But like after doing that, like so much lifted off, and I could like breathe,
so much freedom,
and I could see. But then also like the good things, like it's just like give it to him, like it's all him doing it. It's all because of him that you have all of these amazing things, whatever it is, a great job, a house. There's so much more, but like it's all because of him, and so we give him full control of like all of that.
Yeah,
seriously.
No, that's so good. Like, I think of Galatians 2:20, it says, like, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Come on, like, there's not a better life than to live with Christ.
Yes.
Like, there's not. And so I always, you know, thinking of surrendering, like, you have the verse that we're called to, like, lay down our life on the altar.
Mm-hmm.
And the sacrifice, like, 12, I always say to people, I was like, you think of the sacrifices and the, you know, in the temple and stuff, and it was like, you know, the sheep and the goats and the cows, and they're like, man, you can only have half of me. You know, it's like, no, it wasn't their choice. Like when they were offered to be the sacrifice, it was, they were, the whole animal was to be a sacrifice. And so here we are, we're called to be a sacrifice. And then who made the ultimate like sacrifice for us, right?
Yeah,
like he paid the price for us, right? And in Ephesians, I believe it talks about, we're supposed to be imitators of Christ, right? And so if we're supposed to imitate him, then we're supposed to lay down our life and like be just deny ourselves and pick up his cross, you know, denying our wants, denying our desires, denying our dreams to build our own kingdom on this earth and be what? You know what, Father? I am here to build your kingdom. May your kingdom come down from earth. And like that's that we should be just fully consumed with Christ daily, because I mean, it's daily crucifying our flesh. Like it's not easy, guys. Like don't think it's just a once and done.
Yeah.
Like it's daily dying to yourself, daily seeking him. in the secret place. But like, man, it starts at the surrendering part. It starts at the surrendering. Actually, I heard this the other day, and it was really good. Because you know when you enter the army, you literally sign your name, right? And you give up your life. Like you, and when you enter into the military, you when you sign up, you basically give your life to the military. You know, whether it's the Navy, the Army, whatever, Air Force, you give your life to that. And you're willing to like take anything and for your country. You're willing to do anything. And there's really no way out, honestly. Like, there's maybe a few ways, but if you wanted to leave while you're in the military on your own choice or your own desires, you can't. You actually will go to prison, right?
Yeah.
So, like, there's more, like, there's more, how do I say, like, there's more tension to like, being in the military. How much more when we signed up to run with Christ? Yeah. Like, we can't, we shouldn't just be saying, you know what, God, like, I'm with you today. Tomorrow I'm going to live for myself. Here I am. Like, there's not. It's all in or nothing. Seriously. And yes, 100%. He has mercy and grace. Yeah. And when we do fall down, we do stumble and we do slip up or whatever, like he has mercy and grace to bring us back in. But don't let that be the standard. Mm-hmm. Like let that to be the accident or, you know, or whatever. But like, man, if we just really would just live our lives fully denying ourselves in this age, in this time, in this season, in this hour that we're living in, like we could change the world. We could turn the world upside down. Yeah. We could change this generation and no longer being a generation known for suicide and no longer known for all this stuff. And a generation that's known for the empowerment of Christ, like a generation that like preached the gospel, like. Come on, I would rather be known not Gen Z as a generation that was full of suicide, but a generation that preached the gospel. Yeah. Like, let's go. Like, Gen Z, we can change this.
Let's step it up, guys.
Let's step it up. This. And, like,
it's
man.
Him in us. I mean, it's not even us. It's literally him in us.
Exactly. But it starts at surrender, guys.
Yes.
It starts at surrender. It starts at bowing the knee and saying, you know what, God, here am I. Yeah. I am all yours. Take my life. And if you haven't been baptized, man, research it, read it. Romans 6, there's so many scripture verses. Mm-hmm. Like, die to yourself. Die to being a slave to the sin and become a slave to righteousness and seeking him. Mm. It's literally a roller coaster life of excitement and fun.
But
the
best.
It's the best.
Literally. It's such a high cost to be a disciple of Jesus, but the reward is even higher.
Oh, come on.
Like,
yes.
It is so good. Honestly, this makes me so. When Jesus called like the first disciples, when he called Peter and Andrew, he said immediately they left their nets to follow him.
Yes.
Immediately they left their boat to follow them.
Wait a minute. Are you saying like they probably left their career and their jobs to follow him?
Everything.
Dude, they left everything. They left everything.
Wow.
But it says, and it even says, I mean, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
Come on.
Like, that is heavy stuff. It is such it's a high cost, but it is the best thing ever because it's not only on this earth are we able to live for him, but it's eternity. It's literally eternity. Yeah. And once we are able to follow him, like it is like the best. It's the best thing ever. I mean, what we're all talking about, it's like his burden is light. It is easy. You know, his yoke is easy and is light. And so just being able to surrender it, it's the best thing ever. It really is.
Oh, totally.
And he's worthy of it. Like,
oh my goodness.
He's
yes.
the only one worthy, but you know, and it's worth it for us. Like, even though it's a roller coaster and there's ups and downs, like it's the best because we're with him doing it, you know, and we don't have to worry. We don't have to fear because he's got us.
Yeah, that's right. Honestly. Yeah. There is no fear because it's the best one you would ever want, you know, surpasses every false god in this world and, you know, any person in this world. But to run with him, there's not a better choice in your life than to run with the one who created us. The one who made us, the one who's called us, the one who knitted us in our mother's womb. Mm-hmm. Like, who wouldn't want to run with that, you know, with him?
And, like, we just have to trust him. Like, you put your trust in, like, man, like, obviously they're going to fail you. But, like, he's the God who does not fail. Like, he keeps his promises and he's true. And, like, we can trust him. He's perfect. And, like, he doesn't make mistakes. We do.
Yeah.
And that's why we need him, you know? Like, we're messed up. But, like, he is so perfect and so good.
Yeah. And if you think about it, even like we are investing into eternity, like this life is so short, like really, like I like challenge you guys to like just think about it, like think about how short this life is And do you want to live it for yourself, or are you going to invest into eternity? Yeah. Because there's only two places, right? Mm-hmm. And so where are you going, and how are you going to invest into that, mm-hmm. into your eternity with him? And, like, not only do it just to go to one place or the other, but really fall in love with your mm-hmm. creator, with your yeah. savior, with your bridegroom, with your beloved, because he is so beyond just anything that our minds can comprehend, but he is so good, and he is so worthy of everything that we have to offer him in this life.
Mm-hmm. It's like the verse, many are called, but few are chosen. Yeah, that, you know, it's not easy to be a disciple, but it's just whether we're going to keep on pressing on, because the reward, the prize is so good. To be able to be called good and faithful servant at the end, like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
That is yeah. the thing that I want.
Yeah. And you actually go read, where's that chapter? Is it Matthew? Mm-hmm. Like, go read that chapter. Like, it's pretty powerful, actually. To go read the chapter, like, why, when he gives that well done, faithful servant, mm-hmm. it's about serving the least of these.
Yeah.
And that's powerful. Like, that's where he wants us to be, is to serve the least of these. You know, James talks about that, like, pure and undefiled religion is to visit the widows and the orphans. Mm-hmm. And it's so powerful, because the other day I was praying into that, because, like, you know, especially in America and other countries, there's probably a lot more widows and orphans around us. But in America, you know, it's a lot harder to find widows and orphans. But then I felt the Father speak to me and said, you know, look at the spiritual widows and orphans all around you. And it's not like you're replacing the physical ones, but I was like, whoa. I was like, mm-hmm. they're all around me. They're all over the place. You know, the widows and orphans, those that don't know who their husband is, you know, and then in the orphans that don't know who their father is.
Wow, yeah.
And I was like, wow, this, and that is pure and undefiled religion, is to go visit them. Why? Because you're going to bring the great news. You're going to bring the good news to them. And I don't know. And so here we are, right? He came down to earth, lived a pure and spotless life for us, to redeem us, to call us out from the miry pit, because we couldn't, right? Even our greatest works, even our greatest righteousness, whatever we could do to try to fulfill any command he's given us, it was filthy rags to him. So, right, he came and lived a perfect life for us. And then even think of him who was perfect without sin, still, like, lived a life that was persecuted, yeah. lived a life, you know, yeah. he was crucified. Seriously. And then you think of all the disciples that followed after him. Mm-hmm. Like, none of them died in the hospital, you know, peacefully. Like, you know, yeah. it was like, oh, I'm old age, you know. Yeah, it was crazy. Like, some were hanging upside down, yeah. you know, sawed in half or whatever. Like, it's crazy, right? Yeah. Because why? Because eternity is far greater, right? Yeah. Far more important. And to sow into eternity, we have that opportunity right now while we're on this earth. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how many of us are sowing into our own life?
Yeah.
Like, we're so selfish, self-centered. I mean, we are in a generation with iPhone, iPad, you know, I. It's yeah, all about me. Rather than, like, crucify me, it's crucify literally. Crucify my flesh so I can live surrendered. And mm-hmm. for the sake of the gospel, guys,
yes.
the gospel needs to go forth. He's like, he's not coming back until the gospel goes around the world. Like, mm-hmm. until that happens, he's not coming back. And so we need, like, we got to go after it, guys. Yeah. We got to be surrendered.
Yeah, seriously. And it all starts, with that place of humility and then surrender. And it's like, the more we surrender, the more he can do. It's like, the more moldable we are, because we are clay and he is the potter.
Yeah.
So if we are that good clay, he's able to form us and mold us into whatever it is that needs to be done.
Yeah.
Come on. You know, and so, like, I want to take a few minutes here and, like, what are you guys' thoughts, like, encouragement for this generation? You know, like, here we kind of shared our testimony and some scripture verses, and all this mm-hmm. is powerful, but, like, what would be a few sentences or a few words that you would share with this generation? You know, say there's someone out there who is struggling with self, or who is, you know, maybe is like, I mean, I've went to the altar, I've been baptized, I've been, you know, all these different things, I'm still struggling and wrestling. Like, what's some of your guys' thoughts, like, for those kind of people? Or maybe, you know, maybe it's even someone who's like, you know, kind of like my story, where I was, you know, I didn't really go up around the world and I was pretty sheltered, but yet I didn't know the one who wrote the word. I didn't know the God, you know, I didn't know Jesus. And I was, you know, like, I knew about him. I had the head knowledge of him, but he didn't have my heart. And so, like, what's some of your guys' thoughts to, like, share for this generation or for anyone listening to this podcast?
I mean, I would say don't just make room for him, but allow him to have full control. Yeah. I mean, really step back and even ask him, like, Father, where in my life am I withholding you? You know, like, what parts of me am I not allowing you to have? And I would say, let that be your prayer and just sit there and listen. Be like, okay, what of me needs to die? I mean, when we always talk about in Christianity is going to the altar, but it's like everybody seems to be going there every single week. But in the Bible, when things went to the altar, they went to go to be sacrificed. They went to die. They didn't go there.
It was consumed. Just,
yeah, it was. They were literally fully consumed. So that's kind of where we need to be, in that place of going to him and being like, okay, where is it that I need to sacrifice? What of me needs to be cut off? Where can I make more room for you? You know what? Not even just make room, like, let me get out of the way so you can have full control. So I would say just ask him, because those who knock, like, he'll answer you. He's a good father.
Yeah, I would just say, like, forgiveness is a huge piece of, like, something to lay down, like, all of us. I mean, super common. Like, just search your heart and ask, like, Father, is there anybody that I'm not forgiving? Because, like, the Bible talks about that, and it's super, you know, he's very clear about what that does and how when we withhold unforgiveness, you know, he released, like, there's, you know, it's not good. So,
you know, it leaves, like, the door open to the tormentors.
Right, Matthew. Right, exactly. So, like, really search your heart and ask, like, do I have any unforgiveness towards anyone? Because we're supposed to live at peace with all men, you know, it talks about, you know. And Yeshua, like, you know, Jesus on the cross, you know, he's dying and he says, you know, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And, you know, we're supposed to be imitators, disciples of Yeshua Jesus. So we need, like, we should have that level, like, you know, like, we're not there yet, but, like, we are, you know, doing whatever we can to surrender our lives as a living sacrifice, to be at that point, to just be so, so surrendered that we could say those words, you know? So yeah, forgiveness is huge. And just answering and just say yes, you know, like, just to start, like, say yes to him. Here am I, like, I say yes to you. I say yes to this call. I surrender. I give you everything. Just there's a place to start at, you know, just start, like, surrender it all.
And I would say also, like, maybe it's not a specific person that you need to forgive. Maybe it's yourself. Like, I know that's what it was for me. Like, I had done so many horrible things that I was, like, so angry with myself, and I held so much shame and guilt. And so that was something that I needed to do was like, forgive myself and, like, be able to fully accept that, like, he has forgiven me and realize that and, like, know that, like, I don't have to just, like, carry this. I don't have to, like, live with this title of, like, you know, what I had done, but knowing that, like, he has forgiven me, and so I should be able to forgive myself and also, you know, those other people who, like, have hurt me. But I mean, that was something that, like, I really needed to do because that held me back.
No, for real. I was, you know, I even just think of myself, like, it just, yeah, that the starting at the surrendering is like, man, I'm done with myself. Like, yeah. And I mean, it comes with hungering. Like, how much do you hunger for him? Are you desperate for him? Are you hungering for him? Or are you still hungering for yourself? Are you hungering for what, you know, want? Like, what's your dreams and what's your desires? And, you know, so sometimes, like, we have to fast. And yeah, that means fasting from some food or maybe fasting from your phone, whatever, and go to the prayer closet, pray, seek his face, like, seek him and say, God, I want to know you. I want to know you. You're the lover of my soul. I want to be fully consumed with you. I want to see the beauty of Jesus. That's all I want my eyes to see and know is the love of Jesus, and to be fully consumed with that and not to be consumed about what my flesh wants, what I think of my friends, what do they think of me? Like, that's where you come to a place. And, you know, I was thinking this, someone told me the other day, it was like, you know, with gossip, and it was really powerful. It said, like if we would be soul consumed with Jesus, and that it wouldn't matter what anyone said about us, because we know what he says about us and what he thinks about us. Wow. And so when anyone tries to backstab you or hurt you, you're like, it doesn't matter. Like, I know the one who loves me, and he's the king. He's like, he's the one who thinks highly of me and all these different things. And so I was like, wow, that's so good. Cause then if you're giving room for the enemy to start thinking of like, oh, what'd they think of me? Or what are they doing wrong? Or da 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 this, you're total, what have you done? You've taken your focus off of him and started focusing in on other people's problems. Yeah. And it's like, no, if we just focus in on the kingdom of God, focus in on him who's redeemed us, who's the lover of our soul, who, you know, like, come on, like we can't, there's not a better place to be. And so that's what I would encourage. Like, there's so many different things, whether fasting and praying and surrendering and in the mind, and just, God, just, I give you my mind, I give you my thoughts. And then just living that life of surrender. Worship can be powerful too. Like, however, you know, everyone's different engagement. Some people engage more with prayer or in the word, going to the word, memorizing his word, all these different areas. But ultimately it comes down to just being, you know what, Lord, I'm done with my life. I'm done with living my life. And you can't live your life and live a godly life. Like, it doesn't work. There's only two kingdoms, and there's only one way into the kingdom. And that's being fully consumed with him and just going after it. And so, no, I'm super excited. Like, this was really good, guys. Like, I don't know, does anybody have last minute share?
Yeah, I was just going to say, surrender can also look like you laying down your shame, your unworthiness, your self-image, yourself, like all of that stuff. You lay that down, your sorrow, your regret, your shame, like all those things. You surrender those to him, and he's going to fill you with purpose. He's going to fill you with love. He's going to fill you with that fulfillment, and that fulfillment that you, like, need others' affirmation. Like, you can surrender that, and he will fill you with his affirmation and his truth and his words that he speaks about you, because he created every one of us, and he knit us together just the way that we are for the purpose. And, I mean, like, you were made for today. Like, really think about that. Like, that's wild. You were made for such a
time as this.
And he made you for this time. And it's like, me, like, as a mother, I can, like, think about my kids in the future and be like, oh my goodness, this is going to be so hard for them. But really, like, God created them for today, for this hour, to stand for the truth of this generation, to be a light in this generation. He created all of us for this time in this generation. So just know that, and just, like, really, know that, and just walk in that and with boldness. And don't be afraid of the times, and don't let fear, and, like, surrender fear. Fear is a big one. Like,
that's huge. That's something.
And the last couple of years, fear has just taken over a generation. So surrender fear, because he's going to fill you with power and boldness, because you do not have a spirit of fear. You have spirit of power and a sound mind.
Tell him.
And you are totally capable of walking without fear. So just even surrendering those spiritual things, just like the fruits of the spirit, because when you surrender those things, he's going to fill you more with, and you're going to be able to walk in those fruits of the spirit more freely. And he's going to set you free. So it's so good. It's so good.
That's so good. No, literally, like, surrender. Like, it sounds like an oxymoron, but, like, surrender brings freedom.
Yeah.
So once you're able to surrender, trust me, like, freedom will come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Freedom will come. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is so good, guys. Like, man, we've gone almost 35 minutes, I think.
Okay.
And this is, like, we could probably talk for hours. So it's so exciting. This is, like, burning a message in our heart. And I just want to say, like, the last thing I would say is, like, guys, whoever's listening out there, if you're 10 years old, 12 years old, or 50, 70 years old, like, you're not too young, you're not too old, and go after the kingdom. And some of you young people, you might be saying to yourself, like, man, I'm 12 years old, like, I want to go after the kingdom, I want to go preach the gospel, but I'm, you know, I'm in a family. Yeah, we are 100% pro-family. We're not saying run from your family, but you can do it. Start practicing. Anywhere. You can literally do it anywhere. And you can run to the woods and, like, preach the gospel in the woods. Start practicing. You can be in your prayer closet praying. Like, you
can be at your dinner table.
You can be, like, at your dinner table sharing the gospel with your siblings or with your parents. Like, don't feel like, you know what, man, I got to wait till I'm 18. Like, no, start now. Mm-hmm. Start now. And then maybe you're an older person and you're, like, 50, 60, 70 years old. And you're like, you know what, like, majority of my life's gone. And, you know, don't be down. Like, be empowered.
You're still here.
You still have a voice. You're still here. You can still touch someone's life. And so, but just be surrendered. Surrender everything. And so, yeah.
He can use anyone.
That's right. That's right. He can anyone, any age.
No matter what you've done, too.
Yeah. No matter what you've done, he still loves you. Just got to get out of that rut. Get out of that hole. Yeah. And so, yeah. It was so good, guys.
Yes.
So excited, like, for the times that we're living in. And, man. So
that's good. He's so good.
So good. But so, yeah. Hey, everyone. We just want to say we love you out there.
Yes. Thank you.
Be encouraged and blessings. Go after him. Surrender. Yes. Run after him.
Yes.
Run after the lover of your soul. So peace out.
Bye, guys.
And we won't stop.